Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and I am here with Michael Brazemley, and we are done filibustering. We are finally going to get to the charges that have been leveled against us. Dude, it is shameful. Michael, share your shame and introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Michael Brazemley, and I'm shop steward for Crossroads Post Office.
Disgraced and shop steward?
I'm not disgraced. I think I do a great job as a shop steward.
Okay. Well, these charges say different.
I don't know about the charges.
No, that's true. They don't say anything about being steward. No, in fact, they're woefully short on content, which we will get to in a minute.
I'm running for president also, and since we got the re-election going, so we're still in process. But as more time goes on, I am not liking our branch as more time goes on. It seems like it's just getting worse and worse
and worse. Well, we're working on it. You know, we're trying to make things better. We're trying to actually hold people accountable and to get people to abide by our bylaws and by the Constitution and do the things that they're supposed to do by the book. And that's going to come up. So, charges brought...
Well, before we continue, so...
Listen to this filibuster.
I know. So, just for people who may have skipped the other parts, is that this is from the election... from the general meeting that we had just the other night.
Yeah, and, as we record this,
And we were given the charges from our election chair saying that we were defaming him.
Yeah, he's the one who filed the charges against
and
us.
So we got this right before the meeting started. And so, obviously, don't give us a chance to really read it because they gave it to us like 5 minutes before the meeting started.
Yeah, we pretty much read it as it was being read to us. Yeah, pretty close to it.
And we were there before that.
Yep. Okay. I wasn't. I got it pretty much as soon as I walked in the door. Yeah, because I immediately got into the food line, and that's where that's where I was given this.
And then you didn't eat because of the charge.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
Because you wanted time to read
it. All right, here we go. Charges brought against Michael Brazemley and Alan Gygax. Under the provisions of Article 10 of the NALC Constitution for the government of subordinate and federal branches, the undersigned brings the following charges against Branch 2502 members Michael Brazemley and Alan Gygax. And of course, the undersigned is our election chair and also a trustee, an officer of our branch, which that will become relevant. Background. And then there's a reading here from the preamble of our bylaws, which I actually think is worth reading just because I kind of want to talk about it. It's not a charge. It's not a rule that we have broken. There is no rule cited. It just is background.
It's just reading the bylaw.
Yeah. Well, it's reading the preamble. Yeah. So it says, our purpose is to promote and protect the interest of the membership. First commentary here. That is our purpose here as well. And anybody who listens to the podcast knows that we are busting our ass to try to promote the interest of our members and to actually get the people in charge to follow the rules and to do right by those members. Okay, so, hey, we are at same purposes here, whatever the opposite of cross purposes is. We are working to common purpose here. All right, next. To elevate the morale, intellectual and social conditions of all working men and women to assist each other in sickness and distress. No objection here. To encourage a higher standard of skill. Dude, that's the whole point of the podcast, is to let people know like how to do the job and then what the rules are and stuff like that. Dude, that's awesome. To cultivate a feeling of brotherhood and to assist each other toward our mutual benefit and welfare. So once again, like reading all these manuals, doing all this teaching. Yeah, that's
in reality, because we're doing the election, you're letting people know how the election is works out too.
Yep, absolutely.
And how people could mistreat you by the officers. We're doing that too. Yep. So this is very, very informational. Dude. A lot of members.
Oh, wait till you hear this one. To aid and assist all organizations to uphold the dignity of labor, resist oppression by peaceful and honorable means.
I'm sorry, are they talking about us or themselves?
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay. So yeah, I mean, dude, this is like the definition of resisting oppression, what we're doing here. Yep, absolutely. Because they're the ones in power, they are the good old boy network, and we are speaking to it. Next, to hold it as a sacred principle that union members, above all others, set a good example as true and faithful workers, performing their duties to their employer with honor to themselves and their organization. Dude, we'll get faithful.
That almost sounds like it's actually from the post office and not our union, because We're not workers for our union.
It's in our bylaws. I got no problem with it. No. I'm thinking we should be good workers. Are you sure that's in the bylaws? That's what it says here. NALC Branch 2502.
I don't know. We might have to read that part because
it's probably in there.
You know, because the way it sounds like as if we're workers, as in we
true and
work
faithful
for
workers performing their duties to their employer.
As a member, we work for our branch. No, that's not true.
No, it says to their employer.
Okay.
To the post office.
They're bringing that from something else.
You know what this sounds like? It sounds like somebody who has a cherry route who only delivers like 50 cluster boxes. Doesn't want
to. No. They're saying that this is, you know, our union, our union, our leadership work for us. It's not the other way around.
Okay? Well, sure, that's true.
They work for us because we vote them in.
Yeah, yeah.
So the officers work for us. It's not the other way around.
Okay, so that's. Okay?
That's what I'm just trying to say, right? Because that wording right there does not make sense with our union.
Sure. Okay, so that's about half of the first page, and then it gets into the rule of Article 10, how to bring charges, and it's just a printing of what Article 10 says, which is anybody who brings Article 10 charges brings it under this provision, so there's not really, I'm not going to bother reading it, because it's just, it doesn't advance the narrative.
So, the preamble that he was saying... Yep. I believe that's coming from something else, and that's not in our NALC.
I don't know, dude. I'd have to look at
Article 10. Yes, definitely. That's coming from
the Constitution,
bylaws, our Constitution, and so forth. Preamble. That sounds like this is just something he's just pulling something.
Michael,
out
don't
of thin
you
air.
Have a copy of the bylaws?
Hmm.
Don't you have a copy of the bylaws?
I have a copy of the bylaws that I requested from the secretary. That he said, "Oh, this is old. I don't have the new one yet."
Yeah,
that's what I got.
Right. Because even though it's in our bylaws that they're supposed to be, everybody gets the bylaws.
So I do not have the new one.
Yeah. There's no actual extant copies of our current bylaws. Because I went through the same thing.
How can we violate the bylaws when they can't hand out the bylaws?
Dude, that's a great question.
That's new.
All okay. right. Well, luckily, we don't get accused of breaking any specific bylaw, which
true.
We'll get to.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So we go down to charges.
Yep.
Brother Michael Brazemley and Brother Alan Gygax violated the above provisions of the Branch 2502 bylaws and NALC Constitution the above provisions, I didn't even notice this before. The above provisions, there's no above provisions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What I just read is the above provisions.
Is the preamble and how Article 10
and
works.
And how Article 10 works. We violated those?
Yeah. See, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't even pick up on that before.
See,
now.
That's why I said when the preamble, when they're talking about how that we're the workers
for
our union.
Violated the
I'm telling you, that
provisions.
Is a complete lie. We're not workers for the union. We are the members of the union. They are the workers for us because we voted them in. That's where I kept trying to tell you what he's saying in the preamble is probably from the Postal Service book and not the union book.
I can look it up if you want, but
later.
Okay.
Later.
So it makes me wonder if they intended to fill in some charges, but then never got around to it.
Probably because they couldn't find anything.
Yeah, there aren't any. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's hard to accuse us of specific rules we've broken when there aren't any.
There is nothing.
Yeah. Okay. So we violated the above provisions, but oh well, of which there are none. When? One. On November 4th, 2024... Michael Brazemley and Alan Gygax openly discussed the charges filed against Ken Liggett on a podcast, YouTube, and other social media.
Okay.
It's true.
So, it's not true.
Okay.
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
First of all, we did not talk about Ken in our last general meeting. Okay. I don't know if that's in there, the next
it
one.
It does.
Or
it says his name.
But in the podcast, we didn't call Ken. We called it as predicted.
Oh, yeah, we did use, we never said his
we
name.
We never
just
used
said
his
redacted.
Name.
Yeah, that's true.
As redacted. True.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair. We didn't.
We did not mention his name at all.
Oh, dude, you're exactly right about that. You are correct. Mm-hmm. We call him redacted. During the podcast, Michael Brazemley and Alan Gygax read the charges and gave commentary bolstering their allegations and conspiracy theories.
Okay. On that, we never actually read the charges at the general meeting.
Right.
And we were just talking about what he didn't do as a job.
No,
okay.
Dude, read the exact charges. We
read them in the podcast
In the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We never mentioned his name. Do you know the person who actually mentioned that name was?
No.
Was Paul. Our president. He's the one to say, well, Michael, you're the one who filed charge against Ken.
Mm.
I'm like, yeah, but I'm not reading about these charges because it's been filed yet. We're just talking about what the election chair is doing wrong. We never mentioned his name.
Yeah, the charges had
never our president who mentioned his name.
That's interesting. At the meeting.
At the meeting.
Sure.
And that's witnessed by all members that was at the meeting in November.
Yeah, so on this episode, we did not say his name.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the election chair, if you know who it is, but if you already know who it is, then you already know the situation. And
because we said it at that point, like, I'm not saying it, dude. You are.
So this was done prior to the charges being served to, let's just go with redacted again, even though we've already said it once. Mm-hmm. Let's just go with redacted again.
Yeah.
Read at the branch meeting and prior, let me start over. This was done prior to the charges being served to redacted, read at the branch meeting, and prior to a committee being appointed to conduct an impartial investigation. Additionally, Michael Brazenly and Alan Gigax slandered and defamed redacted and other members of the union with conspiracy theories and unfounded accusations. All right, I'm going to take this.
Okay.
Because I listen back to these episodes.
I do too.
I try to be careful when I speak because I know people are listening and I like to be accurate. And when we said, you know, this is the way it looks to us. This is the way it appears. And I'm going to say, I mean, and we were really careful about saying that this is the way it looks. And that's the truth. It did look that way. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of these things don't look that way anymore because we now have an invoice in our hand that, like, when we said that redacted ordered all this stuff from the printer without the advice and consent of the election board, well, now we have paper in our hand that says redacted didn't order that stuff from the election board.
And he didn't do his job to order the ballots.
Yeah, right. Well, that instead it was done by the branch president, which is way worse.
Because he's running for president again.
Yeah, yeah, right. The branch president who
was a candidate. For somebody to touch the ballots is a big no-no.
Oh, dude, obviously. That's a huge impropriety. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we rightly said at the time, this is the way it appears. But it was because we had no idea how bad it actually was.
Yeah,
and
it's gotten worse.
And part of what's fucked up about this is that we asked redacted, hey man, what's going on? What's the story here? What was ordered?
So here's the thing. Alan and I, we both send emails to the redacted, to election chair saying, mm-hmm. hey, you know, we're looking at the ballots right now that was sent that has pre-sort standard with the permit number 3101 and our current president, his flyer with his people that's on it,
mm-hmm.
and on the same envelope had the permit number 3101 also. It looks exactly same as the ballot. So it looks iffy. I mean, he still could have paid for it on his own. I mean, that of course.
And we said that at the time.
Yeah. But we'd like to know how it was ordered, what the invoice. We just wanted to get more information on it, okay? Yeah. And so that was the information that we asked for nicely on the email to our election chair.
Yeah, to redact.
And the reply that we got was, stop harassing me.
Right. Yeah. Legitimate questions that the election chair is supposed to answer about our election. It was stop harassing me. And it looks
asked our current president, who now we know is the one who touched the ballots.
Right.
We asked him and he goes, oh, I don't know anything about it. And you need to get hold of the election chair.
Right. Exactly. Okay?
And then we went, since election chair doesn't want to be harassed, so we went to our treasurer, who is in charge of paying for it, right?
Yeah.
And then our treasurer says, I don't know anything about it. They haven't told me about how to pay it. They haven't told me about anything at all.
Yeah.
So
they have had every...
Who knows this answer?
Dude, right. Exactly. We're trying to get answers for how our own election is being mm-hmm. run by the people who are running it. And mm-hmm. they had every opportunity to set the record straight and to tell us, no, the branch president actually ordered the ballots that for the election that he's a candidate.
But they didn't do that.
No, they did not do that. Instead, we got told, stop harassing me.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we supposed to get these questions
answered? And
so that's
why we had to file a charge to get the information. So when we read the charge to you guys on one of the podcasts, we were basically charging, saying that he's not giving us information.
Right.
That's basically it. Because in reality, if he provided information, we probably would have dropped the charges.
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, more on that in a minute. All right, so that's charge number one. conspiracy theories, unfounded accusations. Charge number two. During the branch general meeting on November 6th, Michael Brazenly and Alan Gygax argued the charges brought against Redacted with the general membership in attendance.
Again, we did not mention his name. We just said the election chair. Okay.
Well.
And we talked about that he was doing his job. Okay. We have the right to in any of the meetings that we can talk about the what's right. stuff that he's not doing.
Yeah, we have the freedom of speech. And how can they say that we can't ask questions about the way the election is being run at the branch general meeting? Mm-hmm. Like, that's where that stuff is supposed to be handled. You can't just put a gag order on talking about that stuff.
What it is, it was a ploy to tell us to be quiet because they don't want this to be brought up.
They're just
up,
trying to shut it down, trying to avoid it.
Yeah, and then we did not bring up again about the charge. They did. Okay, that was the president, and then
that's true.
Because when the president said, "Hey, you know, this was you're the one who filed this charge for this person,"
right?
And then the secretary was like, "Oh, no."
Right,
we were not. They're not. So even the secretary knew that the president messed up by saying that. Okay.
All right.
So it was not us who brought the guy's name. It was him.
All right. Moving on. This was done prior to the charges being served to him. Dude, they were supposed to have been served by that time, but the dude suddenly went on vacation.
Oh no!
Even though he was supposed to be running the election.
Yeah. So before the meeting,
the redacted went on vacation.
Before the meeting, our secretary comes up to me to tell me that you cannot bring up any charges against this person because this person is out camping.
Yep.
Okay. And I go, wait a second. What do you mean camping? He was election chair. He was going to be here to count the ballots. Right. So he already had plans to go camping while this election was going to be happening.
Right.
That sounds very fishy.
It certainly does.
Secretary.
It does.
Okay.
And he couldn't be charged before the meeting.
Yeah.
And somehow he's suddenly unreachable.
Yeah. Somehow he was not available to be charged.
Yeah.
Oh, but wait a second. On the last meeting, it was so easy to charge us.
Well, we're not hiding.
Of course we're not hiding. Yeah. We have nothing to hide.
No, dude. In fact, if it biases the process to read the charges, well.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, look at that.
We have nothing to hide.
All right.
Obviously, they do.
So moving on. This was done prior to the charges being served to him, read at the branch meeting, and prior to a committee being appointed to conduct an impartial investigation. Even after they were informed by both the branch president and the branch secretary on several occasions that this was inappropriate, they continued to argue the charges in defiance of the general order of the meeting and in violation of the branch 2502 bylaws and NALC constitution.
During that time, I brought up one thing. Okay. And I believe the question was asked is, you know, how was this ordered and so forth.
Right.
And on that, I only asked one question. One. And you know why I asked only one question? Is because Alan told me to just ask the one question and just be quiet and see what happens. Alan specifically told me to don't talk anymore. Okay.
So
even though I really wanted, because you can ask Alan how many times, I'm like, dude, I want to say something. He's like, no, stay quiet,
dude,
stay
just
quiet.
Don't. Yeah.
And because
there were 100 other people there screaming to ask their question of the same exact type.
So I only asked one question.
You say, right.
Everybody else talk.
Yeah. Dude. How can you say that, like, one person could ask a question about how the election got messed up, but we can't ask the question about how the election got messed
only
up?
Only ask that one question, and everybody else was going forward. It wasn't me.
Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have absolutely the right to ask questions about how our election got screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that we can't is an attempt to strong-arm
us. 100%
trying
to strong-arm
us. Absolutely 100%.
That's what you're seeing here.
Curtailing our freedom of speech or whatever. Yep, absolutely.
100%. And destroying us. They're trying to do mob tactics.
Yep. All right. So that's number two. Charge number two, I guess you would call it. Our event. No, charge number two is that we talked about election improprieties at the regular meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Number three. On November 27th, 2024, Redacted was served a charge letter authored by Michael Brazenly. Because, we looked up the rules and it have to be charged by a member.
Because we asked him for all the information, he didn't do his job.
That's it. Okay. Upon receipt of the charge letter, Redacted noticed that there were 49 names with signatures attached to the charge letter.
And you know what? That was from multiple stations, by the way.
It was.
Okay. Yeah.
And there were
not
actually,
just from one station. It was from multiple stations.
Yeah. And we could have gotten more, but we stopped trying because it kind of made our point that we're not the only ones who want these questions.
That we didn't need any more.
Yeah. This shows that at least 49 branch members were aware of and or shown the charges prior to the charges being served to Redacted, read at the branch meeting, and prior to a committee being appointed to conduct an impartial investigation, again in violation of the branch 2502 bylaws and the NALC constitution. But
there's no such thing in the bylaws as that.
No. Okay. Otherwise they would cite it. They would say rule 7B or whatever.
This. Yeah. So when we attach our names to the charge, it's not really just coming from me. It's coming from 49 other members.
Yeah, that's
what they don't understand.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And it could have come from 100 more, 200 more.
Yeah. So this BS that they're putting on there is that is that no, it's not just from me. I'm the original of signing my name, but with the 49 other members who are signing it, they're also agreeing since they messed up. They agreed to this charge. So they're all filing the charge together.
That's exactly right. They are co-signing the
charge. On the charge.
Yep. So it goes on. That is the end of the three charges. Think of those what you will. It goes on. The actions by Michael Brazenly and Alan Gygax were deliberate, egregious, and contradictory to the regulations of which they are aware. Dude, I'm still not aware of the regulations.
I still don't know what rules that we broke.
No. Michael Brazenly and Alan Gygax have poisoned the well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, are you talking about some cesspool that they created?
That well was already poisoned. So it's interesting here. Oh, and then they define poisoning the well. So I might as well read that to you. Poisoning the well. This is a type of ad hominem attack that attempts to damage the character of an opponent before that person even introduces an argument. Now, we've had plenty of opportunities to
introduce their own side. Yeah, no, here's the thing is we're not attacking an opponent. He's running for treasurer now. Mm. I'm running for president.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm not attacking him on running against me because he's running for treasury. He already won as by acclamation.
Okay.
And so the only thing that we requested, because he's election chair.
Right.
And we're trying to find out what he did because things that was happening, it seemed like there was a lot of things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So in reality, am I like going against him for?
All right, so moving on with poisoning the well.
Doesn't make any sense.
Thus, by the time the argument is made, it often sounds weak and defensive. That might not be the only reason it sounds weak and defensive. And the person making the argument may already be suspect in the minds of the audience. All right, now, it is the obligation of the president to appoint a 3-person investigatory panel. And this podcast has good reach. It has over 100,000 total downloads, well over at this point. But honestly, in Las Vegas, there's only so many people who listen to it. And it's not that difficult to put out a call or when he appoints people, you know, and he even said, I think, when he appointed people to be the investigators for these charges, like, hey, does anybody here, you know, not listen to the podcast and can be impartial? And that's his duty and his obligation as president. And I think he did that fine, except that the very first person to raise their hand to investigate
so our president wanted the committee for the charges against our election chair.
Right.
And the first one who raised the hand was our president's girlfriend, who is also a trustee.
Right, right.
Okay, and
tell
you what.
And he appointed her immediately.
And I'll tell you what. I yelled out, that is bullshit. I said.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Do you remember that? Yeah. I was yelling out pretty
that
loud.
That was not an impartial person. Yeah.
And then he looked at it like, oh, crap. This might be, really bad. So he's like, so he talked to secretary. And secretary goes, you cannot have an impartial person running for the committee.
Right, on the same ticket.
So they had to get somebody else finally. Right. But
they was able to find 3 people, and those people will make their findings, and that's how the process works. And it seems to have worked that way, that he was able to find 3 people, and just as he found 3 people to investigate us. And in fairness on that one of our previous podcast guests raised her hand and got selected, and then it was decided, no, she's already been on the podcast. Like, she's not impartial, and agreed. That's fair. All right. So,
I don't agree because there's nothing actually says that she's impartial. because she's not a girlfriend. She's not. She's not running for.
But there's a cozy relationship.
I'm
fine.
Do you think that if it was for Paul, or I'm sorry, for any of the E-board people
at this point,
they would have.
The remainder of our argument is going to show why it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because he sure picks his own people in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. All right, so conclusion. Mm-hmm. It is contended that there is no way that Redacted is going to get a fair and impartial adjudication of the charges brought against him due to the actions of Michael Brazenly and Alan Gygax. Charges brought against a union member are a very serious issue and should not be used for political gain and personal social media fame. Dude, he thinks I'm famous. That's awesome. Defaming someone by unfounded accusations and mistruths via social media, grandstanding at the branch meeting, and handing out 49 torches and pitchforks to branch members does not comport with the Branch 2502 bylaws and the NALC Constitution. Dude, regarding the
pitchforks, is maybe because people are angry.
Yeah,
that's it's the because 49 we're not the only people. Ones who are angry. Yeah, we're not the only ones angry. Yeah. These are people who agree that what he's doing is wrong.
There's way more than that. More than that.
Yeah.
The undersigned asked Branch 2502 for a full and impartial investigation of the alleged violations committed by Michael Brazenly and Alan Gygax, with the results shared at the next regular branch meeting.
So he's saying
by Redacted.
So he's saying that people would make judgments on this already. Okay, it's actually very simple. If he was ever doing everything correctly as the election chair, there would be nothing that shows that he's doing anything wrong, and therefore there would be nothing to fight with. We wouldn't have anything to fight with, okay? And so this is something that he's worried because he knows he did something wrong, because now, as we know, he failed to do the election chair by ordering the ballots correctly, because he allowed somebody who's running for president to order the ballots.
Dude,
that's a big, huge mistake.
You can say that somebody who is appointed into this position of chair by the top executive of the branch allowed the top executive of the branch to do something. I mean, he doesn't have authority over that top executive, over the president. But when he was directly asked about it, he could have been honest, and he wasn't. So the talk about poisoning the well, you know, here's the question. We have an absolute right to free speech, and we'll get into that more in just a minute.
So this is what I told Alan when that happened. I said, Alan, don't, because Alan was getting a little worried about the charges at the time.
Okay? I don't like it.
And so I told him, I said, look, we can talk about leadership, but they cannot talk back to us. This has always been the rule. Okay. Now, I didn't know the exact rule that all the rules came from, but I knew that was the rule.
Because you know I'm a rules guy. Yeah. Okay. So I think any reasonable person would say that Michael and I can talk to each other about these charges. That, man, I really don't like what Redacted is doing as election chair, and I think that it's messed up. And no reasonable person would say that that's in violation of some union rule. I can come home and talk to my wife about, man, I really don't like the way this election is being run. Stuff sure seems fishy, and it's not being done right. And that doesn't violate any election rule. Well, that's two people now, three people total. Can I talk to a coworker about it when I go back to the station? You know, I talk to Michael at my house. What if I'm at my station and I talk to the guy next to me? Hey, man, did your ballot come with a stamp on it? No, man, my ballot didn't come with a stamp on it, and I'm pissed about that. Okay, well, now that's three people I've talked to about it. Where's the limit? Where does it stop being free speech? Where does it say in the NALC Constitution or in the bylaws that you can only talk to three people? That you cannot talk to anybody besides that. Where does it say that, Michael?
Nowhere.
You're fucking right. It says that nowhere.
Because we are the union with everything being democratic.
Mm-hmm.
And we follow more democratic rules and laws and the constitutions.
Yep.
And I think one of the biggest one is freedom of speech.
Well, don't just take our word for it. Let me read to you from a legal page that kind of breaks it down pretty straightforward. Union members have broad free speech rights in the union. You are free to criticize union officials and policies in any medium, including online. Let me read that again. You are free to criticize union officials and policies in any medium, including online. Michael, is Redacted a union official?
Yes, he is. He is currently our trustee.
Yep.
And he's the election and he's the election chair
and the election chair
and then he won the treasurer by acclamation also. Yeah.
All of which are union officials. And did we happen to say anything about the policies of our branch? Of course we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So you are free to criticize union officials and policies in any medium, including online. Any attempt.
So you mean when we're talking about the election chair not giving, providing information, being clear about what he's doing and so forth?
Yeah. Stonewalling, you mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It turns out. Any attempt by the union to discipline members in retaliation for their free speech.
Wait, dude, that charge that he's doing to us?
Oh, that could involve
discipline. That sounds like discipline.
It does. It sounds like an attempt by a union officer to discipline a member in retaliation for their free speech.
Hmm. But you know, well, you know,
all we're saying is any attempt.
I believe that it's illegal,
well,
actually.
Well, let's get to the second half of the sentence. You would let me finish.
Oh, no. The reason I know it's illegal.
I know, because we've already talked about
movies and TVs.
Yeah.
I watched.
Oh, that too. So. Okay. So any attempt by the union to discipline members in retaliation for their free speech or threats made to that effect would be illegal.
Can I say something on that?
Go for it.
Okay. So the TV and movies that I'm talking about is the mob movies, mob television shows. Okay?
Yeah, because the unions used to be all mobbed up.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And if anybody went after the union, as in they want to run for it or had questioned them or any kind, they used to beat the crap out of
them.
Or
break
deaths.
Their legs.
Okay.
Yep.
I think it was at Gotti or Hafa or whatever.
I don't know.
They were running the unions and they disappeared. But again, our government got involved and put these laws in place so that you cannot strong arm the union members who's criticizing the union leadership.
Mm-hmm. Right. So here is from a government website, worker.gov. It's the National Labor Relations Board. You have a right to not be restrained or coerced by employees or labor organizations in exercising these rights. You can't be fired, disciplined, demoted, or penalized in any way for engaging or not engaging in these activities. And these are, of course, the basic rights, like free speech. Hmm. Pretty clear.
He sounds like strong-arming us. Let me say that the best proof that we got that they are doing that is the phone call that he got from the secretary the next day to Alan. What did he say, Alan?
So I don't think it was the next day. It might have been. I don't know. It came not long thereafter. So I got a call. Thank you. I forgot we were even going to talk about this. I got so wrapped up in reading the rules. So I got a call from the branch secretary, the goodest, oldest, good old boy. And he said, hey. He had a conciliatory tone. It was really nice, actually. Hey, all this turmoil doesn't do anybody any good. You know, it just harms the branch and it sows division. And what we really need to do is like get together and have a sit down and you know, try to figure out what everybody's trying to accomplish here. And I said, secretary, it's really straightforward what I'm trying to accomplish. I want the branch to abide by its own bylaws. He's, well, yeah, you know, but this whole thing about like bringing charges against people and then they file charges back and all of that stuff. And of course, I'm paraphrasing all of this, but all of that stuff, it, you know, it's just not good. It's not good for the branch. And so I've talked to Redacted and I think that he would be willing to drop the charges against you guys if you drop the charges against him. So, well, that technically the charges against Redacted are Michael's charges because somebody's name has to go on the top and I can't speak for Michael. And the secretary is like, well, but you know where his head's at. And yeah, that's true. I do. And I said, you know, on that note, the whole reason we brought the charges in the first place is because we were asking Redacted these legitimate questions about the election and getting stonewalled. And the secretary, you know, is being the apologist. And he's like, well, you know, there was a lot going on at the time and things might have been a little confused. And I said, no, we were asking questions that we have every right to these answers. And he was not answering them. Our only choice going forward was with the charges. And I said, so look, with that in mind, I think I have an idea of what Michael would feel about this. And in talking to him later, yeah, he agreed that maybe
he's saying it nicely.
Yeah. If we have a sit down with Redacted And Redacted agrees to answer our questions, to answer them honestly, the questions about the election, to answer the questions, to answer them honestly, and to answer them on record. Then
in front of the membership.
Oh, I didn't even say that part.
Oh, that's what I would want.
Okay, well, then
in front of the membership.
Yeah, then we would agree. Then I think Michael would agree to drop the charges. And the secretary is like, oh, I don't know about all these caveats you're putting in. And guys, that should tell you something.
No, can I say something?
Let me finish my thought here and then go right ahead. That should tell you something. Because when being honest and open and truthfully answering questions is a bridge too far, what does that tell you about that person?
Okay. Well, the stupid part is he's coming to saying, hey, you know, you guys created this split...
Division in the branch or whatever.
No, we did not do that. We didn't do any of that. It was them by trying to cheat. That's the best way for it right now, because ordering all these extra ballots and doing it, and then the person who's running is doing this. I mean, there's so many more things that's happened.
Stuff that we haven't even revealed yet.
Only way we can think of this now is that he cheated. Okay.
Well, he certainly didn't follow the rules. So, we can say that.
So we're trying to make sure that everything was bylaws were followed and the rules were not broken and so forth. We didn't create the division. It's the people that was breaking the bylaws and cheating is the one who created the division. Dude. It's our president who only wants pussies as stewards that he can only that he can control. He's creating division, because here's one of the biggest thing that he keeps forgetting. Stewards are fighters. We are all fighters. For you to try make sure that we can't fight is like the most wrong thing and bad for our membership. Okay, because as me as a president, all I want is fighters. Right. All I want is people who to fight even me.
Right.
I want everybody to be able to argue.
You know
the fact.
I can't believe I forgot to mention this about there's a very stark difference in the charges that we filed against the election chair and the charges that they filed against us. Because we pointed out time and again in these charges, like, what actual rule are they citing? And there isn't one.
There is nothing.
They cite Article 10 as their right to file charges, but that would be like if management issued discipline and they, you know, issued like discipline for attendance, and then they just cite Article 16
that they have the right to issue discipline.
Yeah. But they don't cite the ELM. It's madness. Whereas our charges, every single charge has a rule, you know, 16.7 says this, and this is, you know, what was broken.
Yeah, every appeal, everything that we've filed actually relates to some charge.
Yeah, to some specific rule.
Some specific article or something
out of the election book, whatever. And
every one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these charges are, the preamble. We broke the preamble somehow.
Right. And which I believe that was just created by whatever they're thinking of. It's not from wild. Actual place. Because preamble, what does that really, what does that word mean?
Before you get to the actual stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Exactly.
So it doesn't mean that they brought it from anywhere. It's their own idea.
Right. In constitutional law, I don't think you can cite the preamble to the Constitution as enforceable.
Yeah.
Yep. So, that's what's going on. It's, it is interesting. And, you know, I'd like to think that at some point, maybe the branch secretary, maybe Redacted, maybe somebody else was like, you know, even on the NALC's own website, it talks about the absolute free. If you look up like Workers' Bill of Rights or whatever it is on the NALC website, you can see it for yourself on our own website that we have the absolute freedom of speech, and any attempt to interfere with that is illegal. It says it right on our site.
So here's the thing is that the part that you read about the government side is saying that if they penalize for us for anything. So now that he filed a charge against us.
Yeah. And they're already guilty and of the, attempting and to
the,
discipline. Yeah,
and the committee that was used. Yeah. And we don't know if they're for the guy. We don't know if they're friends. We don't know who they are. Okay,
At this point, we'll assume they're impartial.
I hope they're impartial. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if they find us guilty for talking, that's basically what it is. We're talking on the podcast, right? Yep. If they find us guilty for talking, means they would violate our freedom of speech, and they're violating our rights as a union member, and them committing themselves and our union, our branch, is violating the law.
The LMRDA. Mm-hmm. So this is from the NALC website, or NALC app, but same thing. Union administration, union member rights, and officer responsibilities under the LMRDA, the Labor Management Reporting and Disclosure Act. And then it has this subsection here, union member rights, and the second one is freedom of speech and assembly. And then we go down to prohibition against certain discipline. A union or any of its officials may not fine, expel, or otherwise discipline a member for exercising any LMRDA right. Add that to the list of rules that apparently they have not read.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I was talking to a coworker at my station who listens to the podcast. And when I told him what was going on, started talking about the LMRDA, he's like, yeah, it almost seems like they haven't read the rules. So, yeah, it does kind of seem like that. It's par for the course.
But let me tell you this.
Yeah.
Aren't they supposed to be our leadership, right?
Of course.
How is our leadership not reading any of these rules?
Dude.
Okay. Right. If they're not reading any of these rules, what other things are they not reading?
Well, we are learning more and okay. more.
Because yeah. I'm finding, because I'm telling you, there's me and our officers, I fight a lot with them because yeah. We have a conflict of interest on how our contract is read.
Mm.
And of course, I read everything in favor of the carriers.
Sure.
And a lot of the ones that they read is in favor of management. So we get into an argument a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
And I'm not lying. A lot of stuff they always fight me on is in favor of management.
Right. Okay? I hear you.
And yeah. I, and if anybody wants a question about me, about what kind of things they are, call me and I'll talk to you about it. You can call me 702-724-6355.
There you okay? go.
So if anybody has questions and things that they say or what they do that I believe is that it's in the rules, hey. And I would love people to talk to me, and then we can argue about it, and we can talk about it. That is the whole thing about being a steward. Yeah. That is the whole thing about our union. We can talk about what's going on with our leadership. Hey, if you guys want to just talk, call me and just talk BS. Hey, I am okay with that too. Okay,
there you go.
So I believe that this charge is just a strong arm of us, trying to scare us. Which I don't understand how they think that they can scare us. We're freaking stewards. If we can't get afraid of management, do you think right. we're going to get afraid of them? No. Okay.
You know,
there was at one point I got into an argument with the officers, okay? And when they told me, we are instructing you to do this. And I said, you know what? How about this? You write me a letter of warning and then right. and then see if I'll
see
do
if
anything.
Sticks.
If see if right. it sticks.
Yeah.
And they had nothing to say because they're not my managers. They're our officers, okay? That technically are there to give us information and the things that we need to do right. better work as stewards.
Dude. So I'm going to end this with a little bit of personal information about me. Going into the last branch meeting, I was nervous. I was, you know, uneasy. I was scared. And there were times where I thought about not bringing up my appeal of the decision not to make me a steward because it's conflict and I don't like conflict and it makes me uneasy. And it would have been, you know, the 59 signatures behind me made it a lot harder to back out, but ultimately I decided to stick it out and I stood up there and I pled my case and then I lost. It didn't go my way. But you know,
you lost because our whole e-board went against the whole station.
I understand. Right. I understand that. Regardless, I stood up, spoke truth to power, if you will, if you would grant me that, and it didn't go my way. But ultimately, nothing really bad happened. You know, I'm still a carrier. They can't take my birthday away, anything like that. I didn't get my legs broken. And hopefully that gives me more courage in the future and more willingness to have those confrontations and to stand up for what I think is right.
And be a big fighter.
Yeah, and be a fighter. Because, you know, I'll tell you, going back to the first episode in this little mini series, when the superhero was next to me and was giving him hell, it was amazing. It was so cool. And it was really cool for me because the superhero sat down next to me to be like, oh, you can look up the rules for me. And yeah, obviously the superhero knew who they were sitting next to because I was Johnny on the spot, and a lot of those rules I already had up, ready to go, and it was really awesome. And nobody, I don't think anybody there, even the people who the superhero was grilling, lost respect for the superhero for what they were doing in there. You know, and it was inspiring. So I try to be more like that going forward.
Yeah, basically, we're trying to keep our branch and our union to work like it's supposed to work.
Yeah, to be honest and follow its own rules. Because
right now, our officers are trying to strong arm us.
Yeah.
And I believe they're finding ways to cheat to win, and my opinion, okay?
Yeah.
And in which hopefully I can find more stuff. And and they're doing everything in their power to trying to find a way to cheat the system and trying to keep us quiet. Everything that our union leaders are not supposed to do.
Dude, okay? How many times during the last meeting could the president have set the record straight?
Mm-hmm.
So many times, all he would have had to do was be honest. Mm-hmm. This is what happened. Same with the election chair. Oh, this is what happened. Yeah. And they never did.
You see, here's the funny thing is that if our union president would have came up and said, hey, I didn't know this was part of the rules where that I cannot touch the ballots.
Dude.
The whole thing would have been different.
The secretary, the good old boy, mm-hmm. the goodest and oldest boy,
mm-hmm.
who called me, said that. Well, you know, these were just honest mistakes. We haven't really had a contested election in a while. The same guy who stands up there and says, I've been doing this for 30 years.
So I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. Yeah, he tried to say like, oh, these have been honest mistakes. Bullshit. Mm-hmm. If they were honest mistakes, then when they get brought to the attention, you'd fix them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the
instead
opposite.
Of hiding
instead
them.
Instead of hiding them and refusing to answer questions. And mm-hmm. dude, give me a break. Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Dude, when I was campaigning to go for vice president, I was handing out information in the parking lot at our union hall in the strip mall. And the treasurer came out and said, you can't hand this out here. This is still on branch property. I said, oh, thanks for letting me know that. I'm not trying to break the rules. I'll go in and, you know, see where I can stand. That's the way you handle it when it is an honest mistake.
Yeah, when our secretary says that I know these rules because I've been doing it for 30 years. Who was yelling at something? That was me, right?
Yeah, you and at least one other person was like, you've been doing it wrong.
Maybe you were doing that wrong for over 30 years.
You've been doing it wrong all this time. Yeah, that's the truth. And then, dude, the fucking gall for him to tell me in that conversation where he's trying to strong arm me into dropping the charges that, you know, we really just want a chance to do this right and do it all by the book. Give me a break.
Well, first off, if he really wants to do it by the book, then redo the whole election. Because you know we've brought up many times how they've failed at doing the things correctly.
Dude.
So if he actually wants to do everything right, do the whole thing correctly.
Right. And at least crack open the book. Maybe mm-hmm. since he's the secretary, you know, again, mm-hmm. we don't have bylaws. Mm-hmm. Maybe print the book mm-hmm. so that other people can see what's in that book.
Oh, just quickly,
yeah.
You talked about how in the labor charges that you mm-hmm. read from a bunch of other unions,
oh, yeah.
that when they did not do the nominations correctly,
yeah,
what happened?
Properly.
What happened?
The Department of Labor will force you to rerun.
Yep.
So most of the time, the union just agrees. Like once the Department of Labor gets in there and starts fishing around and being like, hey, this isn't right, then the union will be like, okay, we'll just rerun the whole thing. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And the Labor Department, the nominations of notifying people is a huge important part of the election.
It is. And we have rules that, dude, it's so funny because like when the executive board was making their appeal to the election, they cited rules that are kind of minor that said must. And they're like, hey, it says must in here. So if you didn't do anything that says must, you fouled the whole process. And there's stuff in our nomination procedures that say must.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not done.
They were not done.
And so we got a chance to fix it.
So hopefully, maybe they listen to this podcast
maybe.
and do the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, right? Abide by the bylaws. That's it. So that's the charges.
It's real simple. We don't want to be against our union. We do not want to be against our
union.
Okay?
But who is the one who's against it?
Yeah.
The person who's breaking the bylaws that we all agreed to.
Yeah. And we would never bring all this up if there was no rules being broken.
That's right.
Okay. All we're doing is we're like, wait a second, these rules are being broken. You know, I think one here and two there rarely happening, then we probably won't say anything. But this is right now having it like almost consistently over and over and something new every time. And we look, there's something else and there's something else and there's something else. I mean, when me and Alan, when we first started doing the podcast, we only thought maybe one or two, but now we're looking at
the more we learn.
Wow.
So there may be listeners out there, maybe listeners within the branch, maybe even the branch president, saying, hey, if you think rules are being broken, file charges. Well, stay tuned, everybody.
Yep.
We'll catch you next time.